We've been on a topic that we've been looking at how the difference between victory and defeat, okay, the difference between victory and defeat is so often just a small adjustment. That's what we've been sort of looking at and considering. You know, one of the things that has come out of this is this understanding that we should all have is that the Lord wants to help us. He's not holding back. He's not putting us through some type of cryptic puzzle so we can try and figure out what he really wants for his life. How many of you know that he wants his will to be known in your life? I don't know. Once I started to realize that he wasn't holding back on me, I then started to realize that I had just had to walk like he said I should need to walk, which is by faith. He wants us to walk trusting him, okay, and not seeing everything so that we don't have to trust him. And for some, that just blows them away. Why doesn't he show me? You know, why doesn't he give me a 10-year plan so I can just walk it out? He wants us to walk this life trusting him, in relationship with him. So that's just gives us a bit of a perspective on why it seems that sometimes it's so cryptic and can't work out what God wants, what's he trying to get me to do, I don't know, what's my decision, what's my choice, what all of those questions that come up. You know, we increasingly should be placing our dependence on him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, Proverbs 3 says. Acknowledge him in all of your ways and he shall direct your paths. Isn't that what it says? He shall direct your paths. Great news. Great word for us. And actually, we find his wisdom for our lives as we commit ourselves to that pathway of living by faith, walking it out by faith and not by sight. We find wisdom from him as we live a prayerful life. Okay, that's where we get that wisdom dropping in, is where we've got that communion going on in our lives. We're talking to him, coming to church, loving the worship, enjoying the presence of God, the corporate presence of God as he comes and ministers among us. You know, that's the lifestyle. And then when we decide we're going to have some of that at home too, I'm going to put the music on and you know, just in my accommodation, I've been putting that big fat TV on and plugging in YouTube. And you can just press play for 4 hours and just get non-stop worship just coming out through the big boombox on the big boombox. Greg, it works. And I actually had a moment even this morning, you know, because I'd been in the Word and the night before, and I woke up in the middle of the night with a dream that my neighbour had come to me saying that they'd been broken into, and it was a particular spot. And as I drove off this morning, I kind of looked, because I wasn't going to go and knock on the door and say, did you guys get broken into? I had a dream last night. I thought I'd not do that. Just in case. I thought, who is this guy? And not know that I'm a local pastor. But I thought I'd just drive past and sort of look. And sure enough, where I felt in the dream had been broken into was open. And so I'm going to go maybe knock on the door this afternoon, because it was like a bit of a confirmation. Gives me a little more boldness to go and say something. But yeah, it was a dream. And it came over saying, did you hear anything? This area got broken into. And sure enough, as I drove past, there it was. It was open. And I thought, oh. So anyway, all of that to say, it pays to pray. It pays to have that, you know, ongoing lifestyle. There are so many things in this life that can distract us from what we should be doing. And I don't know, I'm not going to get a big amen on that, but there are so many things that are out there that can distract us and hold us back from living that lifestyle to the full. And sometimes it gets down to what you play through your big fat TV, you know. So we find wisdom as we live a prayerful life. And Jeremiah 33 and verse 3 says, call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Amen? Great verse. Call to me. It's an invitation, church. I'll show you great and mighty things that you do not know. And that's a lifestyle. You know, I know there's perspectives out in other parts of the body of Christ, other denominations, where the expectation is that you won't hear from God. I'm telling you here that the expectation is you will hear from God. You start living that life and start letting your faith go. Say, God's in my life and I know he's leading me and guiding me, hallelujah. And you start finding those scriptures and your faith builds in that area. Next thing you know, guess what? You're hearing from God. And it's a great lifestyle to choose. Moving house, just back in December, as you know, when you're moving house, you're under the pump, there's deadlines, there's things you need to do. The removalist is coming, and you know what it's like. You pack everything up in anticipation of the removalist coming, and some things you pack up a little bit early because you still need them, and like tools from the shed. You know, that last thing that you need to disassemble is your bed, right? I'm getting somewhere. You know, we went to tackle the last bed and the drill bits and the fittings wouldn't fit that. We needed a particular Allen key. And I felt the Lord urge me to go back to the drill bag because there were only drill bits and little screwdriver, little bits for the end of the drill. And I thought, I'm going to have to go out and buy a set of Allen keys. And I felt the Lord urge me, go back and have another look. And I kept on sort of denying it. And I thought, Lord, you're telling me to go and have another look in the drill bag. So I went, I said, Johnston, I'm going to go and have a look in this drill bag, but I know there's nothing in there. I've already looked. Pulled all of the things out, and there was one Allen key sitting at the bottom of the drill bag. And I picked it up and I said, I know this is going to fit. And sure enough, it was the one drill bit that fit that bed, and we were able to undo everything that needed to be undone with that one Allen key. And you know, we've been saying that sometimes it's just that small adjustment, but what you'll find is that God will give you the adjustment. The thing you need to do, we learn to listen. We learn to be prompted by the Holy Spirit because he's in our life, and the Bible says he'll show us things to come. Lead and guide us into all truth. You can read it there in John 16. We've been seeing that a small adjustment is about renewing our trust in God. And it is so often to act on, to say what God is saying, to receive it, not dismiss it. It's so easy to dismiss it sometimes. To believe it, not doubt it, and then speak God's word. We're called to that. Revelation knowledge, and this is our topic title, revelation knowledge is so often the key that is missing. And the Lord will give it to you. It's the thing that will unlock and bring a turnaround and a solution to your need. And we can also call it wisdom from heaven. Who loves wisdom from heaven when you get it? Hands going up. I love that. We will see that in this message that Paul had a problem that he prayed about. And the Lord gave him an answer, and an answer that would take him from being buffeted by the enemy, you know, by the forces of darkness, to having a key from heaven that would give him victory over that same enemy. And I love how the Lord will drop truth into our lives that will get us overcoming. To take his yoke upon us is to learn from him. We have to put the L plates on and learn. We have to be learners if we're going to get around the God of all creation who knows everything. He knows everything. He knows everything about you. It's just funny that I remember living for a rather exploitative, working for a rather exploitative farmer when I was in my teens. And I remember I was having a bit of a disagreement with him out in the paddock, and he said to me, he said, I know everything about you. And I said, no, you don't. He goes, I do. And what I realised later, when I was giving him my mail for him to take to town and post, he was opening it on the side of the road, you know, and having a little read. And so he said a few things that he knew about me. He thought he was being prophetic, and I know he was actually reading my mail. But it's funny how we sometimes use that terminology when we're talking about someone who lives in the prophetic, who can just sort of speak into your life and say some things. We say, oh, you've been reading my mail. But I remember this particular farmer I was working for, he was reading my mail, and I know he was. And we ended up having a parting of ways, as it were, and of course saying some things to one another, not to be repeated. We saw last week how Peter's great confession was on the basis of truth revealed to him from heaven. And that's so important that we go back and have a look at that, Matthew 16, verse 15 to 16. And he said to them, but who do you say that I am? He'd heard what others were saying about him. He'd asked what others were saying about him, but he wanted to know what the disciples were saying, who he is. And Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And, you know, a great confession, the great confession of Peter. Peter answers correctly, as we know, and Jesus explained that it was revelation knowledge from heaven. Peter didn't get the right answer because he had the highest IQ among the disciples. He didn't get the answer right because of that. And Jesus goes on to help him understand. Verse 17, Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, that's his other name, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. That's revelation knowledge. When, you know, you don't work it out yourself, and I'm so glad I've found out in the Christian life, I don't have to work it all out myself. Yeah. That I can, you know, when there's things that I don't understand, he does. And we can rely on him. Jesus said it was truth revealed from heaven. What we call that, you know, revelation knowledge. And we need to recognize that the call of God for all of us is to live our lives in victory and not defeat. And this is the way we do it, depending on God to show us, lead us, guide us, direct us. If you find yourself forgetting that, take a look at the sign. As you drive into the car park, it's on there, Victory Life. Broom, you know, we are going to minister from the point of victory and not from the point of defeat in this church. God wants us going over, not going under. He wants overcomers, not undercomers. Amen. He wants those glorifying his life in us. Repeat after me. God wants me to be a victor and not a victim. You know, it sometimes takes a while for people to start walking in victory because they have to change the perspective they have of themselves, how they've been viewing themselves. It takes a while. You have to put in new information over a period of time. I know it took me a little while until finally the penny dropped. Finally, it sunk in and went into my heart, and I started to see myself as God saw me. Can you say amen? And that's what we're called to. That's what we're called to, is to see ourselves as God sees us. Not just the people that are barely getting by because, well, we've got grace. But no, we're actually overcoming because we've got grace and mercy. Hallelujah. And we all need that. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4 says, for whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Our faith. And of course, the question is, how do you get faith then? Well, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In other words, we become a people of the word. What we believe of ourselves is found in the scripture, because it's what God has said about us. And so we become a people who can rub two scriptures together on the subject. We become a people that are learners. And in our learning, we renew our minds to the word of God. We renew our thinking and we align it with what God says about us. I tell you, I don't know about anyone else, but I think this is good news this morning. You know, and if you haven't understood it yet, you need to take another look, take another grip on it and say, you know what, I need to go and look at this again. I'm not quite sure I'm doing everything that Pastor Peter's saying we should be doing. And get on with it. Get on with the job. As we know, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. These are truths that we need to remind ourselves of, that we need to meditate on, what we need to put into practice. If we're not steadfast on these truths, the enemy will bring confusion and can bring confusion. As we saw last week, the winds of doctrine blow in, winds of understanding that are wrong and will blow you off course and lead you to shipwreck faith. Someone says, what's shipwreck faith? Shipwreck faith is something that went on a journey and didn't get where it was going. Fell on the rocks. Shipwreck faith. We don't want that kind of faith. Someone says, what must I do to get to where God wants me? Well, we start to walk by what he says. Start to live and make sure our destination is based on what he has says in his word. You know, we're living in an age where there is so much deception freely available to us now. You know, you could just as easily flick the your internet connected television over to YouTube and just let stuff wash over you that is wrong. And you know, you can download doubt and unbelief and biblical error freely. And unless you're discerning, unless you know the word, unless you can actually say, actually, that's not quite correct because this says this and this says this, and you know, we can actually compare it with the word of God, you're at a great disadvantage by sitting there and letting that wash all over you. You know, it's in a suit. It's coming at you in a suit. It looks good. Great speaker with charisma. Great oratory. Speak so well, you just want to listen to it. Beautiful technology backing it up. But if you adopt it, follow it, you find yourself heading toward defeat. And, you know, you watch out for the misinterpretations from the Bible that will make you comfortable about defeat in your life. Watch out for that type of truth that makes you comfortable about defeat. I tell you, you've got to watch out for it. And say, you know, actually, that's not... God doesn't want me living in defeat. God doesn't want me being overcome. God wants me overcoming, not undercoming. And of course, there's so many verses and scriptures that will back that up for you. You see, if we think it's God's will for us to suffer defeat, distress, adversity, financial lack, or even sickness, you become complacent and less willing to do the word, to speak the word and gain the victory. You just find a little comfort place. And that's what is concerning for the body of Christ. A little comfort place where you can say, oh, well, must have been God's will. Wow. And now you're in the problem of thinking that defeat is actually what God intended for you. Can I get a little amen this morning? I got Pastor Jess just going, yes, yes, amen, amen. You probably can't hear her, but I know she's living it. You know, seeing it in her life. I see the fruit of it in her life and in the fruit of her family. You know, they're living that victory that we're called to. The seven sons of Sceva found out that you need the anointing of God. You need the authority of God to overcome. They'd heard about Paul. They'd heard about Jesus. And the seven sons of Sceva decided that they'd do a bit of an exorcism using that name. And of course, how interesting it was to see the result when it didn't work for them. They were Jewish exorcists trying to cast out a devil in the name of Jesus, as they said, whom Paul preaches. And Acts chapter 19, it says, and then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, we exorcise you by Jesus, whom Paul preaches. And verse 14, also there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish priest, who did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? And it was about that time they were probably looking to see where the door was. Where does it say exit, you know? You know, they were saying, we know Jesus, we know Paul, we know their authority in the realms of the Spirit, but we didn't get your newsletter. You know, we haven't seen your podcast. And of course, if we read on in verse 16, it says, then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. Scary. You don't want to be messing around with authority. You need to know that you've got authority and you need to know where it comes from. Some ministries teach that God will put a problem in your life to teach you a lesson and to humble you. That's not the God I serve. That's not the God that we serve. Some say Paul's thorn in the flesh was a sickness. Who's heard of that one before? Nah. Those that believe that are trying to say that God put it on Paul to keep him humble, and if he's done it to Paul, he might do it to you. Teach you something. But let's look at that and read it correctly. The context of the passage is about not And no boasting about your revelation from God. You've got to watch out about that. We live this life humbly. You know, the Bible says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. We live this life humbly. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7 says, and lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of revelations, he's talking about this very subject, a thorn in the flesh was given to me. What was it? A sickness? No, it says very clearly, next verse, a message of Satan, a messenger of Satan to buffet me. Lest I be exalted above measure. Paul's thorn in the flesh was not sickness. It was a demonic attack sent to torment him. And God didn't send it. It is a part of living in victory to fight through an attack of the enemy. I'll say that again. It's a part of living in victory that we have to fight through to get the victory. Amen. It's a part of living that life. The New Revised Standard says this, and it reads, even considering the exceptional, same verse, even considering the exceptional character of the revelations, therefore to keep me from being too elated, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from being too elated. You know, the enemy is just trying to keep Paul down. He's walking in revelation and speaking the word and overcoming. But let's just read on to see what Paul did, because it's what we can do as well, and we should see this. Verse 8. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. So he's got a problem, but he prays about it at least three times. He goes to the Lord about it and saying, Lord, can you help me with this? And it's so important, because who wouldn't pray to God about a spiritual attack? When you've got one going on, wouldn't you pray? Of course. But the truth we must see here is that God is not waiting for us to cry out to him. He has already done all that he's going to do about Satan and his demonic hosts. You know, the authority over the enemy has already been given to us. And it's up to us to exercise it. I don't know. I mean, maybe I'll ask the Apostle Paul in heaven about this and how he felt when the Lord, you know, sort of gave him an answer. But it was almost like he was asking for something that God had already given him. That's really what it was. He sought the Lord three times, and after three times, the Lord spoke to him and ministered to him. God is waiting for us to rise up, church, in our God-given authority and put the devil and his cohorts on the run. What does it say? It says, resist the devil and he will flee. I tell you can put him on the run in your life. But we have to rise up with the word. We have to rise up in authority. We have to start doing the word and not just being hearers. Not allowing it just to be something that lulls us into a sense of comfort, but rather something that actually promotes activity in our lives. Godly activity, a word activity. So let's have a look here and see, you know, and this is sickness, disease, poverty and lack included, you know, things that we can get on the run because we speak the word and say what God says. Look what it says in 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. You know, at that moment, when I read this, I started to realize that those times, we'll reach them, those times when we feel that we've gotten to the end of our rope, we've gotten to the end of what we could possibly do. In other words, everything that we thought of doing has come to nothing. And, you know, sometimes that's exactly where the Lord wants us to get, because he wants us to realize that we need to depend on him. You know, we need to, you know, in our weakness, turn to him rather than trying to do it all ourselves. He says, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect or brought to completion in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I'd rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. If you think an illness is there from God to teach you something, you have misunderstood the character of God. He has revealed his character as Jehovah Rapha. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord God that heals us. He's revealed that for all time for us to understand that he's a healing God. Now look, the method and the manner in which we receive that healing is where most Christians sort of stumble a little bit and struggle. How do I get that healing? You know, do I get it through someone laying hands on me? Do I do it believing at home, reading the Bible? Do I just wait for God to do it? You know, there's a few methods in which we can just receive from the Lord. But I just encourage you this morning is that realize that he's already revealed his character to us. He's not going to reveal some other character to us now. So, well, actually, I'm not really sure about whether I'm going to heal everybody. You know, his will is for everyone to be healed. Amen. And his promises of healing stretch through the New Testament, you know, into the Old Testament. We can see it all the way through. For those that have believed the lie that God put sickness on them to teach them something, then here's the question: why would you take medicine to get out of the will of God? Yeah. Why would you even pray? If you think you're being taught something, learn the lesson. You know, stop taking that medicine. You know, because we you know, through the years, there's been a lot of nonsense come out too, where it says that if you are taking medicine, you shouldn't be because you're not believing God to heal you. No, what we were taught was that you take your medicine until you're healed. You know, and then you stop taking your medicine, then go to a doctor and have it confirmed. The doctors will confirm it. You know, if you're no longer got those symptoms, you know. So, you know, our greatest defense against a lie is the truth. Amen? Our greatest defense against a lie is the truth. Let's remember that we need to know the will of God, the word of God, if we're ever going to speak it with authority. We have to know it. This message is very much a message to remind us that the choice to overcome in life is very much about our faith, about using the authority that we have to inherit the promises of God, to live our lives above the circumstances and not under them. The church is built on believers living their lives as overcomers, receiving revelation knowledge and rising up above adversity as victors and not victims. And of course, the keys we're called to make use of are truths revealed from heaven. We should look again at Matthew 16 and just take a look again what Jesus was saying. And he again spoke to Peter. And I also say to you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. And the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Binding and loosing is a part of our spiritual toolkit. God's given us a toolkit, a spiritual toolkit that we can use in our prayer life. It's binding things and loosing things. Binding what the enemy's doing and loosing what God's doing. Binding, activity that's against you, binding that activity and asking, you know, and standing and loosing what God's doing in the situation. Binding and loosing. And when we pray based on revelation knowledge, we're using a key from heaven. It's a powerful prayer life that gets results. A powerful prayer life that gets results. And, you know, we're called, each one of us, you know, just no matter where we are, wherever we are, we've got a book store at the back there that can deal with different subjects that you might have, books that you can buy. There's a library full of good information there on how to live this life by faith, promises that you can get a hold of. There are so many different tools. Our online courses will get you on track in some of these things. But you know what? What's most important is we have to go back to putting our learning plates on. And be happy to show that we're learners. One of the things that I've heard with a background in training and learning the whole area of training, vocational education training in Australia is that one thing that I heard that I thought had an application in the church as well. It said that the illiterate of the 21st century would not be those who could not read and write. It said the illiterate were those who could not learn and unlearn and learn again. Some of you might understand what I'm talking about. Some of us have come to the church in our adult years and have had to unlearn so much that we learn about Christianity, about religion, about God, about, you know, heaven. All of those things, we've had to unlearn them, and it takes time. But how we quickly get to that place where we understand is we go to the Word of God and make a determination that we're going to be one of those ones that renew our minds to the Word of God. Renew. In other words, taking some of that old stinking thinking that has locked us in defeat in the past and take on some of the new thinking. And that's my prayer today, is that we would be that people, that those of us that are sat here today would be that people that rise up with new information and say, you know what, I'm going to live this life. I remember the difference between being a Christian and not living this way. Okay, and I knew I was saved. I had a wonderful experience with God. It was a very real experience with God. But I was effectively still living in defeat. I haven't understood that, you know, God wanted me to live by his promises, live by his word, and start to activate it in my lives. And how many of you felt that as well, where, you know, you realise that as a Christian, you can still experience defeat. But I tell you, God's called us to live above and not under. God wants us to be overcomers. Amen. He wants us to go from faith to faith, from strength to strength, from glory to glory, you know, from victory to victory. And I don't know about you, but I've had some victories this week, and obviously we have more time today. I could maybe share some of those, but I want us all maybe perhaps this morning just to stand to our feet. We'll finish with a word of prayer. I'm going to ask the worship team to come on up and see us out with a song. But, you know, there's two things I really want to invite you to participate in this morning. Is three things, actually. Morning tea. Because morning tea is going to be served out of the servery. So if you're new and you're with us today for the first time, please don't rush off. We've prepared some morning tea for us to all join together, and we'll bring some tables out and have some fellowship and meet some of the other folk that are here. It's always a good thing, and I encourage you to do so. But I also want to encourage you that if you were touched by that word this morning that came through about sin in your life, about, you know, that area of breakthrough that's needed, I really feel that this is an opportunity to come forward today and get prayer in that area, to make almost like a fresh dedication of your life to live according to the Spirit and not according to the lust of the flesh. I'm talking about someone who may well be realising that they're actually in bondage, you know, that God wants you free from that, but that you have to take a step. And so often the altar is a great place for that to happen. Just to make that, you know, you don't have to go into the detail. You have to tell me that you're addicted to, you know, cream cakes, and that, you know, you've been watching your diet, and you don't have to tell me any of those things. We don't need to know. But God will see your decision to do something about it today. God will see your decision to overcome today. And God will be blessed. And you will be blessed as well, because he'll help you with it. Amen? And break through into freedom. You know, it's about, walking away from the lust of the flesh and walking in the Spirit. And as we walk in the Spirit, we get all the help we need. Fantastic. The other thing I wanted to say too is that as we have the altar call, always be very mindful that there's people down the front that are looking to the Lord, praying, and just try and be a little bit quiet for the first 5-10 minutes or so while we just pray for those good people that come down. Try not to make too much unnecessary noise or chatting and talking. Just while we do that, it's very important that we give room for the Holy Spirit. We like to dismiss so that you're not waiting and that everybody can start, you know, heading off maybe to that chook in the oven at home. I don't know. But let's be as sensitive as possible to the Holy Spirit as he moves and ministers among those ones that come down. But let's pray. Let's ask the Lord a blessing. Father, we thank you today, Lord. We thank you for your word. Lord, thank you for the great grace that you've poured out upon us, Lord God. Lord, that we can be a people that rise up with boldness like the early church, speaking of your sacrifice, speaking of the price that you paid for us all. Lord, that we can be that people that go out of here with a message of hope, oh God, and faith. Lord, that Lord, we're not just waiting around until you come back. Lord, we're out reaching others with the good news of the gospel. And Lord, we've discussed today things that are good news, things that relate to the truth of your word, Father. Lord, you've called us to be overcomers. And Lord, we thank you that we want to be those people. We want to be those ones that go from victory to victory and not from defeat to defeat. And Lord, it is just a small adjustment. Lord, it is based on you imparting to us the keys of heaven. Lord God, that we might unlock areas of blessing, Father. Unlock these areas, Father God, where we can make those adjustments. Lord, we pray your blessing. We pray your blessing upon this people. And Lord, we ask, Lord, that freely flow in revelation knowledge. Lord, that they begin to see and know. Lord, that it would be through dreams and hearing your voice, being prompted by your spirit, that they begin to walk and see those areas where small adjustments are needed, Father. And Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the grace that flows and the mercy that we've all received. We thank you for both today in Jesus' precious name. And everybody said, amen, amen. Well, let's go out with that song and worship the Lord just one more time before we go.